Hey, welcome to Broker. This podcast is all about real talk from one broker to another. Each week, we'll be talking with an AIM member about their journey into the broker channel, their challenges, and unique insights. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Got my boy here today, Peter Galvez, right? United Wholesale Lending, coming all the way from Sacramento.
Yeah, man, it was fun. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, yeah. Are you you all good with the sleep, with the flight? I know Vegas screwed me up, but Fuse coming back.
Vegas always screws everybody up.
Yeah, right. I've always said you only need like max 2 days in Vegas. Am I right or wrong?
You're absolutely right. Day three was tough.
Yeah, yeah.
We're here. We took a red eye. It was probably
got in yesterday.
Shakiest flight of my life, but we made it.
Yeah, yeah. Cool, cool. So yeah, we're here. We got your partner Shelby. He's coming up next, right? So it's you two owners, right? Co-owners up at United Wholesale Lending. I always get confused because it's like UWM.
It is.
Do you get that a lot?
I get it all the time. So originally, the company was United Lending Partners. Shelby ended up selling it.
Okay.
I became partners, and we just rebranded. In Sacramento, everybody wants to know, why should we work with you? I'm like, well, we're wholesale. Mm-hmm. We're wholesale. So I was like, why don't we just call ourselves United Wholesale Lending?
Right.
Good thing that we know Matt and we just got permission to make sure we didn't get sued.
Yeah, that was my question. Did you talk to Matt about that?
We brought it up to our AE and made sure that it was okay.
Well, how long ago did it open? What was it, 2 years ago?
2009 is when the company first started,
right.
But we rebranded 2 years ago.
That's what it was. Okay, yeah. Cool, cool. All right, yo, let's get into it, man. I want to know more about you. We've got to know each other the past couple of days, but let's tell all the listeners, you know, you have to be a little bit of a lunatic or a psychopath to get in this industry, right? So tell me how it started from the beginning. I know we're talking about the meat. If you want to start there, that's cool. But I want to know your whole bio up until now.
Perfect. So I went to Sac State. I wanted to do kinesiology. And I was a door-to-door. Let's start from before that. I was delivering pizzas at Round Table.
All right, cool.
And there was a order that was far. And I was like, you know what? I'll take this
one. Is that a West Coast thing, Round Table?
Yeah.
I never heard of it.
No. Yeah, Round Table is big. So I was delivering, and I delivered to this company, and there was all these white trucks of cash. And I'm like, something's not right here. I'm like, what are they doing? So I walked in there, and the guy's like, hey, man, you know, come in the back. So I was like, what do you guys got going on here? He's like, oh, we're actually, we sell meat door to door. And I just started laughing. I'm like, this is the craziest thing I've ever even heard of this before.
Right, right.
He's like, how much money are you making at Round Table? I'm like, oh, you know, like $40 a day, man. Not bad for a college kid. He's like, how would you like to make $200 tomorrow? You know, back then, even now,
you're in.
You know, it's like, sure. So, of course, my first day, just to try it out, he takes me to my hometown. He's like, hey, man, we're going to stop by your mom's house. Aunt's house.
Is this a mama joke or no?
No, okay. No. But I was like, of course, man. So everybody bought. I ended up making $200-$300. And so I did it for 4 years. I was a door-to-door meat salesman. I would sell frozen, vacuum-sealed steaks. And then in 2005, it just rained every single day. And there was no possible way for me to go out there. Ended up selling to some guy. He bought my entire truck. And he's like, dude, you're in the wrong business. I'm like, what do you do? He's like, I do mortgages.
Okay.
Like, I don't even know what a mortgage
is. So it's meet to mortgages.
Meet to mortgages. That's exactly. I should probably change
that. Should be the podcast, meet to mortgages. But
I think I'm going to start my own bio. That sounds pretty cool. So what happened was in 2005, I offered him, like, hey, man, is that offer still on the table? Do you want to come in and, you know, come work for us? So I was like, sure, I've never done it before. First day on the job.
Was this a broker? What was it?
It was a broker. The company was First Foundation Mortgage Group.
Okay.
And they just gave me a script. And they're like, this is what you're going to say. When people call, you're going to say we have 1% loans. And then they gave me a list of all the people that had higher rates. I was just cold calling. Mm-hmm. This is the easiest sale ever. Like, all these people have fives and sixes. Well, then the phone rang, and they're like, do you speak Spanish? And I'm like, yeah, I speak Spanish. They're like, oh, we got a Spanish speaker. Perfect. You got to take these calls. One by one by one by one, I would just sell them. I had no idea even what I was saying.
Right.
But I got my first check. I think it was like $2,000. And I literally did like a backflip. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I just made $2,000 for telling somebody that I can save them a bunch of money. And that's kind of how I got started. I ended up being from a call center to being one of the top producers in the company. And eventually ended up figuring out that that $2,000 check was like 15% of the commission. Ended up opening up my own mortgage company. And
when was this? Like 2000?
This is in 2007.
Just you?
Did it was myself, my partner Chad.
Okay.
And I had a really good friend Shelby. He was working as an account executive at the time, and he's like, "Hey man, I'm thinking about opening up my own mortgage company." I'm like, "Why don't you come work with me? You know, why don't we do this together?" It was the toughest times ever. Mm-hmm. We were probably selling one loan every month, if that. And we were just running out of money, completely broke. All the companies were going under. And Shelby's like, "Hey, you know, I could probably borrow like 20 grand from my mom. We can send out a mailer."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, "This is it, man. This is gonna what's going to save us."
Yeah, I heard some of this yesterday. Get into this. So 20 G's from Shelby's mom.
From Shelby's mom, okay, to send out a mailer. I'm like, "All right, this is it, man." We started doing the math. 1%, we're going to get X amount of calls. So we sent it out, and we're just waiting, you know.
Right.
Phones never rang. So I'm like, "You know what? We got a check." And Shelby's like, "Dude, I think something's wrong." I'm like, "No, you know, sometimes it takes time."
Yeah, it takes time, you know? Right.
Next day, nothing. I'm like, "You know, the mailers usually hit right before the weekend." So Shelby's like, "Let me see the piece that you guys sent out." I accidentally put down the wrong phone number.
Right, right.
So we lost all of Shelby's mom's $20,000.
So gone.
That was it. And Shelby's like, "Dude, I'm out."
It was just you guys selling?
It was just us three.
Just a small brokerage. 2007.
Small mailer, brokerage in Elk Grove. It's called North American Lending. And we just lost all of it.
Uh-huh.
And so from there, Shelby ended up bouncing. You know, I didn't know what to do. Going through a foreclosure. And then the roles reversed. I ended up going to work for Shelby.
Right, right, right. Okay.
And so it was a kind of a complete 180. You know,
what was the name of that company? Because that's when you guys, this is when you guys became partners for the most part,
well,
right?
Well, I ended up working for him.
For him. Got it.
The company was United Lending Partners.
Got it.
So I ended up working for Shelby. We were best friends, still are. We lived with them for 7 years. And, you know, through the ups and downs, made money, lost money,
mm-hmm,
ended up having to tell him one day, "I can't work for you anymore, but I can still live with you."
Yeah.
And then I went and worked in retail.
And that shit's going to happen, dude, with partners. You're going to go, I mean, you need that. You need that conflict every once in a while, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just hard when you work with someone and your best friend and you live with them.
Yeah.
So I ended up working at retail, and that's when I really understood kind of the retail model. I only did it for a year, but I understand why people work in retail. It was just their culture. You know, we made way less money. Our rates were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But they just took care of us.
Right. You
know, it was like, here's calls, unlimited mailers, unlimited marketing. You know, they make you feel like so important.
And that was a big company, right?
Paramount Equity, yeah, they were big. They ended up selling their company for tons of money, and they're still out there. I think they rebranded to LoanPal, but I really fully understood the concept of retail. And it was, and now I get it. I get why sometimes it's hard for retail loan officers to come over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's not just about the rates. They take care of their people. And so for me, it was more security. You
yeah.
know, if I can go work for my friend, or I can work for a company that's going to offer me a 401k and medical and mm-hmm. vision, and the phones were going to ring, so I didn't have to get any of my own business.
Right, right, right. Yeah, that's what I've taken from, I mean, you guys are killing it right now. And from talking to you guys yesterday, you've taken a lot of the things from the, like, listen, we get brokers are better, the whole thing. But we got nothing against, you know, retail, really. You took what you had at retail with the culture, and then you guys started this company or rebranded it to be the broker model, but with a lot of things from retail, right?
Yeah, we took a lot from retail, but we took even more from United Wholesale Mortgage.
Okay.
So we run our company kind of the way Matt runs United Wholesale
okay, cool.
Mortgage. We have a concierge. We have somebody that does, you know, videos. We have somebody that does, you know, all of our marketing, somebody that does all of our calls. We have mm-hmm. assistants, and we just wanted to create a company where people wanted to go to work. You know, mm-hmm. this mortgage isn't sexy.
No.
You know, nobody wants to, can't wait to come to work today.
And it's hard. So you need, like, it's a tough business, right? You're go, 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 go. You need something positive there too, or you're going to go crazy.
Well, not just that. It's like you're only as good as your last month.
Mm-hmm.
And so, without having the structure of a big company, consistent marketing, knowing that every day that you go to work, the phones are going to ring, it's hard to stay motivated. Mm-hmm. But when you're working with people that you like, and you're working with friends, and you have a culture where everybody just gets along, and you have some top producers, it just pushes you.
So yeah.
So that's kind of how we want to make sure that when you come work for us, you're getting the best training, you're working with some amazing people, and you just have fun.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I want to dive in a bit of I know we're going to be talking to Shelby more about like the recruiting side, but you're an owner of a massive company and you're still selling. You're a producing owner, right?
Correct.
So before we dive into, we're going to get in deep with how you're selling loans. We're going to do that because that's your thing. But when you bring on a loan officer, right? And Shelby might get him in, whatever it is. But you're training these guys, right? You're a big trainer.
Myself, or
you
personally.
Are the trainer. Yeah, you personally, right? So you're showing them exactly what you do because you're selling. You're on the ground floor.
What we try to do is either train from within. So bring somebody in that we don't even know what their position is. We just like them.
Right, know? Right. So that was awesome when I heard that yesterday. You're not. You have three different things that you're looking at, right?
Yeah, we want to make sure that you're coachable. We want to make sure that you fit our culture, and we have to like you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're hardworking and you're willing to put in the work, we'll hire you and we'll figure out later on where to put you.
Yeah.
But I sit with people one-on-one and I go, look, I've done this for a long time. I've sold a lot of loans. I've messed up a lot of loans. Mm-hmm. I've ruined relationships because I didn't manage my time. I overpromised. Let me show you how I do it. And I take it personal. We don't want to hire a bunch of people. I mean, we've right. been doing this for a long time, ever since, you know, Shelby's been going around the country speaking. I think we might have only brought in like two or three loan officers. You know, it's not about going out there to build our brand and recruit people. It's, we believe that brokers are a better place. We want to follow the AIM vision and we want to grow from within. And we want our people to feel like, man, these guys aren't just recruiting top talent. They're actually investing their time in us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's quality over quantity, right?
100%.
I mean, the old retail model was just put asses in chairs, right? Like, they'll just take you, whatever experience you have, let's throw them in there because, you know, upper management one now are going to take a piece. They just want law of large numbers, right? Just put them in. You guys aren't looking at that. You're looking at quality and whether you've, yeah, experience is great, but if you're coachable, if you're likable, and they're learning under you and they follow you, you're putting them in a good spot to succeed. And it's going to keep the culture in a good spot, too.
Absolutely. Well, it also makes a difference when it's your company, right?
Yeah.
We don't have the marketing budget of, you know, obviously not the big banks, but these big direct lenders where we work.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just hire people to hire people, all it takes is one bad review. You know, we have nothing but 5-star reviews.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a 2-star review, now people start questioning it.
Yeah,
you know, you start hiring people just to hire people, you know, your chances of, it's just a lose-lose model.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to keep them. You're not going to be able to, you know, maintain enough business for them. And at the same time, if we hire somebody, we know that it's our responsibility. Like, their family's relying on working mm-hmm. for us. So we want to make sure that we keep not only that culture, but that people, when they look us up, they're like, man, they're a great company to work for, but they also kill it, man. They have 5-star reviews, and there's 0% chance that we're going to have somebody that's going to ruin that for us.
Right. Yeah, because you guys came from a small, like myself. It's me, my brother, and my sister's boyfriend. We're a small shop. We have a couple bad reviews. That could be very damaging to guys, to us guys, right? You're a bit bigger, but you're still looking at it like each customer's different. We have to look at everyone's specific situation. We got to do right every single time by the client, because you remember the pain from the past. Even though you guys are bigger now, you still want every single review to be good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially we're in a saturated market with a lot of loan officers.
Yeah.
You know, Sacramento, Irvine.
Dude, Cali's tough, right?
There's a lot of brokers. There's a lot of retail. And all somebody has to do is look your name up, you know, and if there's one or two bad things, now you're sitting there explaining to yourself, being defensive on why either that review's right or wrong, rather than just doing right.
You have to be super aggressive out there in price, right? That's all you hear. When I, from the East Coast, we hear Cali, and like, you got to be cutting like crazy. Like, what?
Sacramento's not as bad. You know,
okay.
We're also blessed with a lot of retail. And so by that, I mean, the pricing's a little higher.
Yeah, it's just there, right.
It makes it easier for me to show value because our pricing's better. Mm-hmm. We're a lot faster. And in the market where we're at, Sacramento's price point's not too bad.
Okay.
You go to San Francisco or Irvine.
Yeah, you're done.
You're done. I mean, you're not done. You're just, there's a lot of competition and your margins are a lot smaller.
You've seen people starting to move out of like San Fran area?
They are.
Because of the price and go up to Sacramento? Is that up?
Sacramento? Yeah. Yeah, a ton of people. I mean, one bedroom apartment for $3,500 to rent, it's impossible. Yeah, you can't make it out there.
All right, so getting back to, we talked about reviews, and we've spoke a lot about everyone, every client situation is different, right? I mean, you're doing how many loans per month right now?
About 40.
About 40. And you have, what, two or three processors? You have a front end, back end. How's your structure for you personally?
So I have three processors that majority get my business.
Okay.
I have...
All in-house, too,
all
right?
All in-house.
Nothing contracted out.
No, we
in-house.
Have one that works from home, but...
Yeah, but it's not a typical contract. No. Okay.
I have an assistant. Her name's Naz. She's hands down the backbone of our entire company. She handles agent communication, you know, the entire workflow. Mm-hmm. And then she has two assistants. And so with that, we have somebody that can help us take apps, somebody stay organized, mm-hmm. stay on top of our clients, you know, communicate with the agents. So it kind of frees up my time a lot more to just focus on what I'm good at, and that's selling.
Right. Yeah, you're still in the mix with every client. I think some people lose that. They have this pipe dream, right? I'm just going to sell. I'm going to get the client in and just pass it off to someone else. You don't really do that. You're not just, yeah, you have to pass it off because it's better for the client, but you're still engaged with the client from the beginning.
Every single one.
Every single one. So that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, we're doing about like 15 loans a month, right? 15, 20 in that range. But you're doing 40, and you have goals to get that even higher.
Yeah, like
you
were saying yesterday. My goal is by the end of next year, 50 to 100.
Like, how do you have the quality and do that type of volume? Can you dive into that a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things I learned from when I was getting coached at the Core is we waste a lot of time as loan officers. Mm-hmm. You know, I always thought I was busy, and then my coach at the Core is like, you're not busy. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? I have all these things I got to go on. He goes, all right, well, let's break your day down into 30-minute increments. And then we're going to split them up into 15-minute increments. Because if you say you're working on a loan, you're only working on it for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. When I broke it all down, I only had like an hour and a half of things to really do.
Right.
I just kept on hitting refresh on my email. You know, I would spend most of my time making sure that this loan went from submission to subbed. Uh-huh. And then focus on, like, did it get approved? I was just waiting.
Yeah.
And so what I did was I took my day and I said, okay, well, how do I put more into the hours I'm there? And how do I get in that mindset that if I go to work today and I tell myself I'm going to submit 5 loans, how do I do it? Mm-hmm. And that's what I do. I dive into my database and I look and I go, okay, today I'm going to 4 or 5 opportunities and I'm going to close them. Mm-hmm. And if I close them in an hour, I'm going home because mm-hmm. I don't want to get burnt out.
Right.
And then the other thing, too, that I started to realize is that a lot of times you have, you know, a purchase loan that comes in and you can't wait to close this loan for your realtor. Like, I can't mess this up. But what loan officers don't realize is on every real estate transaction, there's another agent.
One, yeah.
That's an interview, right? And so that part, when I started to understand that, it's like, Shelby, I remember he told me one time, he's like, put down all your agents on paper. I had like 5. He's like, how do you have 5 agents? We just did 10 purchases.
Yeah, right.
Because I didn't put down the listing agent because I didn't think in my brain that that's one of my agents too. Mm-hmm. Because you don't think like that.
No.
And when I started taking that mindset and I go, okay, well, every time I get a purchase, I'm going to call the listing agent. I'm going to introduce myself. You know, and kind of what I tell them is, hey, look, this is Peter Galvez, United Wholesale Lending. You normally don't hear from me. The only time that a listing agent hears from a lender is if they're making up a reason why they're late.
Yep.
Or
bad news, basically.
Bad news.
Right?
And so I basically tell them just like this. And for anybody listening, it's like, this is super important. Call that listing agent. This is exactly what I say. If we close on time, your sellers are happy and there's no hiccups. Mm-hmm. Are you open to doing coffee? And then my goal is to completely wow them with communication mm-hmm. and close faster than they've ever thought possible.
Right.
If you do that and you set up a follow-up interview or coffee or something with that agent, your chances of doubling your production every year is going to happen. It's inevitable.
Well, you have a long-term mentality. Like you guys run a business. You don't want it to be done next year, right? I think a lot of people in the industry have that short-term mentality, very transactional. So they're not thinking that. They just want to get the one deal done. They want to get paid and move on. No, you're thinking long-term.
Well, it just also depends how long you've been in the business. If you've been in the business longer than 10 years, you've seen money come and money go.
Yeah.
Right? And it's now the second time around, and there's nothing, this is not a diss on anybody that just does consumer direct, because I think that going direct to the consumer, it's awesome, you know, but there's no relationship there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So people always ask me, like, man, what happens if the rates go up? I don't care.
Yeah.
People are still buying houses.
You're recession-proof, right?
It's you know.
Yeah.
But if your only model is to go direct to a consumer and you don't have any relationship, you haven't built any value, the only reason they're calling you is because you advertise some low rate.
Mm-hmm.
It's not sustainable. No. And as soon as the market goes up, there goes all these people. It's just like I said, that's not a good model to just solely focus on.
Yeah, so your sources of business right now, realtor, right? Your book of business, because they're just going to come back to you. What are you guys doing with your book of business right now? Do you have a CRM you're using? Like, how are you hitting them to stay in front?
We do. So we have a couple. So we use Top of the Mind. So for basically after a loan closes, we send out birthday cards, Christmas cards, thank you cards. We use a CRM called MLO Shift.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So we set workflows up.
Is that a Jeff, I forget his name. Do you know him?
I don't know. All right. But basically how it works is when a loan goes in, you put it into MLO Shift, and your processor just moves the tabs over, and it automatically sends out emails and videos, and it just does it all for you, right? And so it helps you stay on top of the mind with the clients. The other thing that we did, which I highly recommend for everybody, is we created what's called a home buyer university. And I think this is super important to help yourself differentiate from any other loan officer. We created sets of videos, 4 to 6 minutes long, because you don't really have that much more of an attention span.
You don't, no.
And it just goes over everything. Closing costs, FHA, VA, every single thing. And we put it into a university. When we get a lead, we put it into MLO Shift. We put it into the CRMs, put in their email, and it constantly sending them videos and reminders. Yeah. And it just helps the clients be like, dude, my last loan officer, not only did I not see him once, he didn't send me anything.
Right.
And that keeps you relevant.
And aren't you doing a specific video to each client? Isn't one of your processors doing that, you said?
Yeah, so
basically, about their deal.
So there's two. Important. So when they're in contract,
okay,
it goes out. But then one of them when it's a funnel and they haven't bought a house yet. It's like, hey, check this out. Don't make any major credit card purchases.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you understand credit. This is how fees work. Here's the difference between FHA and conventional.
Mm-hmm.
And it just constantly is educating people. And by doing that and creating these videos, you take out a lot of the guesswork. You know, a lot of the times it's repetitive. You know, what are your closing costs?
Yeah.
You know, what are your fees? If you set up a video and you send it out to everybody, now you've just answered 1,000 questions over and over again.
Well, that's saving your time. That's going to allow you to go do more volume. That's
exactly what it is.
Because how many of us have gotten bogged down just from hitting texts from clients, like, what's this little thing, or having to answer calls? I mean, that'll cut your right in half. Like you said, the core model. Like, what are you spending time on? So you put in the time to save your time later with the home buyer university, basically.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Let's talk about, I know this is your strength, man. I loved listening to you yesterday when you were talking about actual specific scenarios with clients. So we're in, I mean, we kind of got killed yesterday with rate, but we're still in that refi type market. It always is. There's always a way to do something for a client, benefit, cash out, whatever it is. Everyone's got a different scenario. But could you give us an example of what you're seeing right now? We'll talk refi for a second. Of how you're structuring deals for people right now, what you're seeing people doing?
Yeah, this is my favorite part. So
yeah,
I'm glad
yeah,
you
I
asked
love
it.
This. Yep.
Loan officers get really tied up on here are your savings per month.
Okay.
Right. Depending on who you're talking to, they don't even care.
Mm-mm.
Right. So the first thing I do before I sell a loan is I write down what are the objections that a client is going to tell me. So the first one's either going to be costs. I don't want to start over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time. How long is it going to take me to break even? So before you even put together a presentation for somebody, if you can eliminate their pain points, you've already moved on to step two. And so one of the things that I do is I realize the psychology of a client. So when I sell a refinance, if I know I'm saving somebody $200 a month, I don't tell them I'm saving them $200 a month. I automatically assume that they're going to go home, talk to their husband, and they're going to say, you know what, honey, we're just going to stay where we're at. So I show the clients, look, first thing I do, I grab an amortization calculator. Okay, where are they at right now currently? They've been in the loan for 2 years. If we refinance them and they make the same payment, how much more can they pay off the loan? believe it or not, if you save somebody a 0.25%, mm-hmm. 3/8, which most people wouldn't even touch a loan or even look at it,
right?
You're going from 28 years to 25 years, 27 years to 22 years. That's powerful.
Mm-hmm. You're a true advisor at this point. You're not just selling rate. You're not just trying to throw shit against the wall.
Well, you have to show it to them. And this is huge. I mean, if anybody's listening to this, pay attention to this right here. You go to a financial advisor. Have you ever been to a financial advisor?
Yeah.
And then when you leave there, they have charts and graphs, and they give you these things like, hey, if you put $500 a month into an account, by the time you retire,
yeah,
this is the number. And you get all excited. And then loan officers go out there, and they have this transaction in front of them. They can make them $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, $10,000. And you have a client that you can save $50,000, $100,000, $200,000, and you're just pitching it over the phone real quick. Nothing tangible.
Nothing.
How are you ever supposed to expect the client to move forward with mm-hmm. you? What you have to do is you have to lay it down on paper. I'll tell you, if somebody called my wife and pitched her on a mortgage,
right,
she'd be like, I have no idea. You got to talk to my husband.
Yeah.
You have to prepare yourself. You have to put it on paper. You have to lay out the savings. Take your time. We have 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day. I don't know how many hours people work, but everybody gets so caught up on selling. Explain it.
Right.
If you're saving somebody from a 4.5% to a 4%, yeah, you can save them $200 a month. But if they made that same payment, you can save them 7 years off their mortgage.
Yep.
What's 7 years times their principal and interest? That's 200 grand. That's value.
That's the value right there.
It's not $200 a month.
Mm-mm.
And then what are they going to tell you? You know what? Costs are too high. I get this all the time. You're charging me $4,000 and I'm saving $100 a month. It's going to take me 40 months to break even. And that's the mentality that loan officers and consumers have. The client's not making a payment for a month or 2 months. I didn't tell you to skip it.
No.
Right? You're going to make this payment. If you don't refinance, you're making a payment next month. So that month you have off, if you take that payment and you apply it back down to the mortgage,
mm-hmm.
you're almost at the exact same loan amount as where you started.
Mm-hmm.
What's the break-even point? Right away. Clients go, I don't want to go back to a 30. You're not. If you don't refinance, you're paying $2,000. If the new loan's $1,800 and I tell you to pay $2,000, you're going from 28 years to 22 years.
Yeah.
So your loan amount's not going up. You're not going back to a 30. You're actually jumping ahead 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
What now? You know what I mean? You just basically, you go into war with a knife, a gun, a tank, plane. You go in with all your guns lit.
Yeah, right.
Most people just pitch a loan real quick over the phone. They're like, oh, they said no. That's and it. You just blew that entire off.
So what happens if you go through all this and they're still not getting it? Do you have a good follow-up system from there?
Well, basically, what I usually try to do is I send them something tangible.
Okay.
Right? And then you want to make sure you reach out to both parties because it's emotional. It's tough.
Yeah.
Husband says, no, I'm talking to the wife. Like, look, do you want to retire? I'm saving you $200,000. The reason you don't want to do this is because you don't want to send me some paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there,
you'll give it to them straight, right?
I mean, you got to be careful how you say it.
Right. But you're also protecting them. You know what's good for them. You're not going to put someone in something that doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. If a financial advisor's job is to show you how to control your finances and at the end of 15 or 20 years, how to retire, you can't guarantee the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell somebody, put $200 away in a 401k and in 30 years at a 5% return, this is how much money you're going to have. You can't guarantee that. What if the market crashes?
Right.
On a mortgage, an amortization schedule is paid no matter what. So if you take the $300 a month that I'm saving you and you apply it back to your mortgage because you're already telling me you don't want to do this,
mm-hmm.
so or you can save $300 a month, you are guaranteed to save $200,000. That's money that you're going to give to the banks. If you change your philosophy and you start selling that way and you start explaining that way, they've never heard that before.
No.
I mean, you're a loan officer.
Right.
You might have heard it. Clients have never heard that.
They don't
before.
Hear that. They don't get that type of specific personalized service. You just don't see it as much anymore.
Never happens. Another perfect example.
That's how you're training your LOs, right?
Every single time.
So you bring an LO in, you're sitting them down. Like you were saying, we'll put you in a room for 3 days, or this is exactly what I do. So that's how you're training a lot of your guys too, right?
And I want them to think for themselves, what would you do? What would you do for your mom? Does this make sense?
I like that, yeah.
If it doesn't make sense for your mom, why are you selling it?
Right.
Right, perfect. Another perfect example, this is just recently. There was a client that was at a 3.625. I'm never refinancing this loan. But they had $1,000 a month in consumer debt.
Mm-hmm.
If you took that client from a 3.6 to a 4.25, the rate's going up.
Yep.
Pay off all their debt. But now they take that $1,000 a month that they were paying in consumer debt and they apply it back to their mortgage. It paid off their loan in like 10 years.
Yeah.
That's like having a 1% 30-year fix.
Right, yeah.
But it's just how you look at it. It's looking
it's all mindset.
It's
but
it's,
it is hard numbers though too. But it's real, it's facts. Facts. Yeah, it's facts.
Do you have a financial advisor? Yes, send this to him.
Right.
This is facts. I'm not bullshitting you.
No.
But you have to find value. You have to look at every single opportunity and you have to look, how can I take what they're paying anyways and help them?
Mm-hmm.
It's not about rates dropped. Heck yeah, I'm going to do a refi today. Why?
Right.
It's perfect. I get to save somebody's life. I get to take somebody from
that's cool.
never being able to retire because every 3 years they're going back into a 30-year fix and show them a plan to fully come up ahead. Mm-hmm. This isn't like an option. Like you're making a mortgage payment no matter what forever.
Right.
So stop giving away money to banks. Stop paying 22% on a credit card because you don't want to refi your mortgage because it's at a 3, but yet you have thousands of dollars in consumer debt. Change the way you think. If you change the way you think, you're going to go from closing one loan to 5 to 10 to 40. And that's how I'm going to get from 40 to 100.
No, I love the passion you're putting into this because, I mean, you get, you know, that high, right, when you help someone, right? Fires you up, man. I love it when you work a whole plan. Are you using anything to work these plans up, or is this more just you writing them down, taking it organically?
So there's two platforms, Mortgage Coach and MBS Highway. To be honest with you, I go old-fashioned, man. I go to mortgage-sign-x.com.
Yeah, I love it.
And I go to an amortization schedule, and I print it out old school.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the most effective way, but it makes me feel like I'm putting in the work, you know? And recently with this whole refi push, I started to think, all right, how can I take it to another level? You know, how can I provide massive value? So I started looking at 30-year to 15-year. And the first thing people tell me, like, I can't afford a 15-year fix.
Right.
Well, for one, if you couldn't afford it, you wouldn't qualify. The only way I'm going to pitch it to you is if your DTI
get on
works.
This. I was listening to you talk about this yesterday.
If your DTI works, you can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
If you take somebody from a 30-year fix to a 15-year fix, it's a very similar payment if you don't include their impounds.
Right. Escrows, right? Impounds, yep.
So 30-year fix, PITI, $3,000. 15-year fix, PI, $3,100.
Mm-hmm.
Monthly, it's the same payment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Peter, now I have to come up with $6,000 at the end of the year.
Well, if you can't come up
if you can't come up with $6,000 in a year, you're not retiring. You better at least have $6,000 to put away.
Right.
Now I can show people who are 50 years old and have 30 years to go on their mortgage. You want to retire in 15 years? Go from a 30 to a 15. Monthly is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have 1 year to come up with your taxes. Blow all your money. Spend all of it. Put nothing in a 401k.
Right.
Go to the mall every single day, blow all of it. Just come up with enough money to pay your taxes and insurance. If you do that, by the time you're 65,
you're
paid off. That's value. That's a totally different way of looking at something.
It's all mindset.
And you're helping people. And if somebody has that plan, they're not going to refi again. Might not have them as a customer, but you'll get all their friends and family. But
that's
now
right.
Somebody has a plan to retire. And they're like, well, what if I move in 3 years? Perfect. Let's look at an amortization schedule.
Mm-hmm.
If you stay where you're at now, this is how much equity you have when you sell. If you move in 3 years, bam, you have an extra $50,000. Now, it doesn't matter if you're getting charged 6% on realtor fees.
Mm-hmm.
You come up ahead. So you always have to look at it from a consumer's point of view. How can I advise somebody to save money on what they're already spending?
Oh, I like that. That's can you say that again?
How do you advise somebody to save money on what they're already spending?
They're already spending anyway, right?
Hey, JP, I'm going to take 7 years off your loan. Your payments are not going to go up. And your loan amount's going to stay the same.
Right.
That's what we do. And that's how we sell some
awesome.
Loans.
That's awesome. Can we go through, like, that was a refi, and that's more of a financial decision, right? When someone's buying a house, right, you have the realtor involved, Are you getting into the nitty and the gritty with people when they're buying a house? Like, yo, here's your budget, right? You told me what your budget is. You know, Mr. Mrs. Real Estate Agent, this is how we have to try and structure this with the client. Like, how do you structure purchase? Because that's a whole different beast.
Well, it depends on the client's financial situation. Right? So some clients have to put 20% down. Mm-hmm. They're like, I can't pay PMI.
That's their mindset is what you're saying.
Their mindset's like, I was told PMI is bad.
Right. We've all heard that.
You're waiting to put 20% down. You know that you could put 5% down and have no PMI? I have clients that put 20% down on a mortgage, and I'm like, you know what would be a better solution? If you put down 5% and you took the other 15% and you paid off all your consumer debt.
Yep.
Because now you saved $1,500 a month. So now when you move into that house, you don't have as much stress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your payment might be a little higher than putting 20, but you free up. So every single time when I look at a purchase, what's the best deal for the client? You know, I'm not a big believer in FHA. I think that it's a great loan. I think it's helps first-time home buyers.
Sure.
It's a nice way to get in. But if a consumer has high credit, don't put them in that. Show them. Show them the value of, you know, LPMI, borrower-paid PMI. And the other thing, too, one thing I never do is I don't ever pre-approve people over 50% DTI.
Okay.
You know, deal pass. You know, oh, yeah, I got it at 58%. Somebody's at a 58% DTI.
That's your rule.
That's
your conscience talking, right?
Yeah, 100%.
You've seen it all. You've been in this since 2005 or whatever.
I've lost everything back to back.
Right. You've seen it.
You pre-approve somebody at a 58% debt to income. Gross?
Yeah, gross.
That's 70% net.
Mm-hmm.
And what does DTI not include? Health insurance, phone bill.
It's a lot of shit they don't.
Food.
Right.
If you can advise somebody and be passionate about it and sit with them, one of the things that Shelby and I, you know, we do is we have multiple offices in Sacramento. I live in Rockland, which is about 20 minutes,
okay,
you know, north of Sacramento. I drive all the way to Sacramento, even though I have an office right by where I'm at.
Yeah, why is that?
Because my homeowners live or work near downtown. Right, I want to meet with them.
Are you meeting with a lot of clients
right
now? I meet
with about 75% of the people that I pre-approve.
Dude, that's insane. So this dude's doing about 40, 50 units a month. And he's meeting with 75% of his clients.
Correct. And for those of you guys that think this is crazy, let's break up our day.
Yeah. Can we do that? Can we break the whole day up? Yep. And then I want to see how you take a client from the beginning to the end as well. But no, but break up the day first.
Perfect. So I'm going to give you just a general thought. You sell 2 hours a day. I don't know how many people are selling 2 hours a day. I lock my door and you're not allowed to come in.
Okay.
Okay. So we have 8 hours a day, let's say. How many hours do I have left? 6.
Right.
Let's take an hour away for nothing. Checking emails, going to the bathroom, walking around.
5.
Hour lunch, 4. I have 4 hours to meet a client in my office. Let's say I do 2 meetings a day. See how much more time we still have?
Mm-hmm.
People mismanage their time. They think they're busy. You're not busy. You're just showing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just simple time management. I don't have time for that. Sure you do. You're just lazy. You're mismanaging your mm-hmm. time. We have time. If you can focus on building value and structuring your day where when you're at work, you're working, you don't have to work 40 hours a week. You could take Fridays off.
Mm-hmm.
You can balance your life.
Yeah, because you have what was your wife's name again?
Her name's Haley.
Haley. And then you have a baby girl.
Zaya.
Right. So that's important to you right now. It's even more important. I mean, I got 3 at home. I'm chaotic. I'm working on that, right? You saw him yesterday. But so that work-life balance is huge.
It is, because if you're burnt out, you're never going to move forward. If you're not happy at home, you're not. Your life's in shambles.
Right.
Shelby and I used to work 7 to 7s. For what? Just because you want to show up at work?
Right. Well, you didn't know how to manage the time at that point.
Well, you think that because you're putting in more hours, you're doing more work.
Mm-hmm.
The only exception is Anthony Costas. He works from 2 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock at night.
And I think he sleeps in a suit.
He does.
Does he sleep in a suit, Ricky?
I have no idea.
But in all reality, just put more into the hours you're at work. I don't have a time that I go to work anymore. I have to be there at 8. For what? My daughter wakes up. I want to hang out with her.
Damn,
my
right,
wife wants
should.
To go to the gym. Cool, I'll stay at home. I don't have to be at work at a certain time.
Right.
But when I'm at work, I structure my day. I win the day. Write it down. What do I have to do to win the day? 1 new lead. get one new relationship, make somebody's day, close a transaction, send a thank you card, figure out what's going to win your day. And when you're done, go home so you're not burnt out.
Yeah.
Because now you can put as much value and time into the hours you have and also at home. And that's going to help you. And let's break it down one more time.
Yeah,
40 loans a month. How do you do it? How many loans is that if you work 5 days a week?
So 40 loans,
right? Divided by four. 4 weeks.
So that's 10.
10 divided by five.
Two.
You have to have two submissions a day. I know that sounds crazy.
Two a day for 40.
How many hours in there a day? Eight. You have 8 hours to either help two new families in your current database or get two purchases from a real estate agent.
Mm-hmm.
We're brokers. We're better. We're faster. I don't think enough people put enough emphasis on the relationships with a real estate agent. Why should a realtor work for you? Well, besides building value to agents, which I'll get to later, we close loans faster. Why is that important? JP, why is closing a loan faster important?
Right, because we can get them in, we get them out, and you move on to the next one, too.
No, absolutely wrong.
Boom. See?
Right? I'm asking, this is a serious question. To a client or to a realtor, why is it important to close faster?
He's put me on the spot, man. you heard what I said. I'm obviously wrong.
Well, I'm going to explain it to you. So if you're selling your house, do you own a house?
I do. I own two.
Perfect. You're about to sell your house.
Okay.
It's on the market. Can't wait to find a replacement property. You have 50 offers. They're all 30-day contracts.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to find a replacement home if you have to write a 45-day escrow?
Yeah, right.
You can't. You have to understand that value. If UWM can close a loan in 14 days, what if somebody came to you and said, JP, here's an offer. We're going to close in 14 days. Tell your wife to tell their realtor to go write a 21-day contract, even though it's contingent. You might get that house.
It's huge.
Totally different mindset. Speed wins because now that seller can go and find a replacement property. And when you're working with these retail banks, that take 20, 45. 30, 40. We just hired a guy from Wells Fargo. He's like, dude, our last transaction took 60 days. That's cool on a refi.
Yeah.
But on a purchase, you just put crutches on that seller.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, I can't find a replacement property. I got to write 60-day rent back. Well, you ain't getting the house.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you have to always look at every opportunity and build value. When you talk to a real estate agent and you explain to them, hey, not only do we get the best pricing for a consumer, but we're going to be able to release our loan contingencies in 7 to 10 days. We're going to be able to release our appraisal contingencies in 8 to 10 days.
Like you said earlier, you're not having this conversation with just the buyer's agent. Listing agent, too. That's huge. Like you were just talking about.
If I close a loan in 12 days, that listing agent is going to be my realtor because they are not used to that.
Love it. Right.
That's value.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, I like that, man. No, I mean, I'm just thinking, I'm like, yeah, you know, get them done, get the next one.
Oh, but that's so the realtor can get paid fast.
Right.
No, that doesn't
matter. A mentality that a lot of people have. So I'm glad you put that into perspective. I mean, speed and efficiency wins right now. We're in a world where technology is moving up. It's catching up to everyone, right? You got to have speed right now.
Well, not just that. It gives you time to, if you mess up,
yeah.
Hey, I pre-approved this client wrong.
Right.
Guess what? You found out up front. If you have to backpedal because the client messed up on something, find out right away.
Mm-hmm.
You want to wait? But these are all bullet points that I think every loan officer that works in the broker business needs to understand. You have all the tools. You just got to use them. It doesn't matter if you have the cure for cancer, if nobody knows about it. Right? You have to be able to take what you're good at and just do that. I don't run the business. I own the company. Shelby's better at that.
Right.
Shelby, you hire, you manage, you get the people. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fire our guys up, and I'm going to close as many freaking loans because all of my guys are listening.
Yeah.
They're like sponges, and that's how we grow our business.
Can you talk a little bit about that, about how that division of labor works, I guess, between you and Shelby? Because you're working your strengths, like you said. So whose roles who with a two-man ownership team?
So basically, I handle more of the nitty-gritty. I'm in the weeds. Got I'm in it. The trenches.
Like we've been talking about.
I talk to the clients. I fire up my loan officers. I'm training. I'm in with them. Shelby, he handles all of the back end, making sure the company's running, the bills, the growth, okay. hiring. You know, he's out, you know, speaking and building the brand. You know, it's really important these days you have a brand.
Yep.
I think one of the things you had asked me yesterday is, how do you see the industry in 5 to 10 years? Well, I'll tell you, if you're direct to consumer only, in 5 years, you're gone. That's it. You're gone.
That's because all the big...
The big banks are going to take over.
They're consumer direct.
Margins are going
to go down. They have the money to do it, right.
And eventually, you're just going to weed out. A real estate agent or, you know, let's get even deeper. Who can refer you business? Realtor. How many divorce attorneys do you work with? It's not the best. The, you know, it kind of sucks, but everybody that
gets
divorced...
But it happens. That's real.
Has to sell their house. Has to refinance, buy someone out. Right? Who can send you business? If you're a loan officer and you're working with a new agent and you're trying to give them some advice, why don't you add every single person in your yearbook? Add them all.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are your sphere of influence. You have to use your you know, what you're good at. But going back to, you know, kind of going off topic here a little
No,
bit.
I love it. Let's go.
But going back to how the office works, we break it up, right? Shelby handles everything with managing our people, you know, recruiting, hiring, you know, he creates massive value for agents. And I'm more in the trenches of closing the transactions, dealing with the consumers. And that's kind of how we're able to split it up.
Yeah.
And how we're able to have
I mean, I've watched
life.
You guys over the past 2 days. And it's a good, what, yin and yang? Is that what you call it, I guess? I mean, it's cool to see. And you guys known each other. You've been friends for so long. You've been through your conflict. You've had your things. You've broken up. You've gotten back together. And it's working now. I mean, how old are you guys?
I'm 35, he's 36.
All right, cool. So I'm 36 in the same boat. Yeah, but that's cool, man. That's cool. Can you break down quick? I wanted to get to this. We have about 15 minutes, all right? I want to break down from start to finish because I was really intrigued how you meet a lot of your clients, 75% and doing about 40, 50 loans a month. From start to finish, how does it look?
Perfect.
From like client comes in or realtor refers you. What's the next step?
So I get a lead. I call the lead. I try to find out as much as I can about the client. And if they're local, I try to bring them in.
Okay.
If you bring somebody in, you're going to win that transaction. As far as them moving around or shopping you, I'd probably say about 75% of the time.
Okay.
Because now they're invested in your time. And so I get them pre-approved. I find out what their strengths are. I find out where they want to live, what kind of payment they want. Once I get them pre-approved, I relay that information back to the agent. Once they get pre-approved, they get in the contract.
Mm-hmm.
So loan gets in a contract. The first thing we do is our assistant opens.
And you're taking 1003 right there, a piece of paper,
1003,
if you need them?
If in person, I'm 1003
boom,
in person.
Boom, boom, boom.
Go okay, over good. Their credit.
Okay, cool.
Now they're in contract.
Got it.
So my assistant orders fees. We get everything dialed in. First thing I do is I call the listing agent. Hey, this is Peter Galvez, United Wholesale Lending. Super excited. It looks like we got JP into contract.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to order the appraisal today. I'll let you know as soon as it gets in and as soon as we get it back. If we can close quick, efficient, no surprises to your seller, we're meeting up for coffee.
Yeah.
I don't even give them an option. I'm telling them.
Love it.
Then what we try to do is we try to submit the loan and order the appraisal within 6 to 8 hours. That's how you meet your contingency dates.
Got it.
Loan goes in and my processing staff kind of takes over from there. So super, super important. We send out a video with every loan estimate that goes out.
Right.
So my assistant uses Soapbox. So if you guys-
This is customized to them.
It's customized to them.
Love it.
It's called Soapbox.
Yep.
Soapbox allows you to kind of film yourself.
It's a Google add-on, right? I have that.
Yeah, it's just an add-on.
Yep.
Kind of like Bonbon,
mm-hmm.
but you're able to take a picture of yourself. If you don't like the way you look, you can change it. And it just shows your screen. So a loan estimate goes out. And it goes over everything. She breaks down every single thing. These are the credits. These is all of it goes in. Then we go into MLO shift. MLO shift, we move it to submitted. Email goes out.
Mm-hmm.
It goes out to the agent. It goes out to the buyer. Loan gets approved. My processor personally calls the client, and we send another video. Here are all of your conditions. I think a big problem is people just email.
So you're using a lot of video.
A lot of video.
So that personalizes a bit more.
Personalizes it, and not just that. They could watch it over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, hey, this is what I need. You're missing this. This condition, this is how you understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens is I call the client at approval. Hey, congratulations, your loan's approved. You're going to be hearing from my processor. If there's any questions you have during this transaction, let me know. There's always going to be a point of contact. Loan gets clear to close. Emails go out. MLO Shift moves it, sends it out to everybody. Loan goes to get the closing disclosure out. You call them, go over the closing disclosure. So every single thing is personalized. They feel like, wow, like we had like a Nordstrom experience.
Mm-hmm.
We want the client's experience to be like a Disneyland
experience.
Disney,
Nordstrom, right.
If there's any hiccups throughout the process, we want to know. Hey, man, this client wasn't too happy about this. Or, you know, the client's super stressed out. We have a concierge who his job is send out what we call magic makers.
Oh, what's this?
A magic maker is a way to make somebody's day.
Okay.
So, hey, you know, the other day, probably like a month ago, something happened and they had a death in the family. His job, send out flowers. You know, look for reasons to make somebody's day. Personalize it. Make the entire experience be like, man, when we worked with Pete and Shelby, it was like most amazing experience. And during the transaction, I couldn't do anything for a week because this happened. And man, they sent us flowers or they sent us balloons or champagne to my work. That is how you have an A-plus experience. The loan closes. Try to show up to your signings. I think this is really big. Obviously, you can't show up to all of them.
Right.
But I think that if you have somebody that either you have a really good vibe with or you have a real estate agent that you have a really good relationship with, try as much as you can to show up to the signings.
Yeah.
Because that's the last impression they're ever going to have of you.
What if one went awry? Like, it was a tough transaction. We've all had them, right? I also think those are the ones you go to as well.
You have to.
You have to get to those ones.
The last
it's going to happen every
the last
once
thing that they're going to remember is their closing
and
the experience that they had.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we like to tend away from dealing with problems.
Mm-hmm.
Man up. Show up. Hey, sorry. Send them a cake and make the frosting and everything all horrible. Send it to the agent. Man, sorry this is a bumpy transaction.
I like that.
But okay. The next one, I promise you, we'll do better.
Right.
And then when the loan transaction's done, you ask for a review.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you can keep that cycle as close as possible, I don't care if you're doing one loan or 50, you're going to get reviews, you're going to get referrals, and you're going to build that brand that when you work with United Wholesale Lending, it was like a Disneyland VIP experience.
Right.
And that's how you have to treat all your clients.
Yeah. I think it's there's people out there, no fault to anyone, that are doing 4 or 5 loans a month. And they're not doing any of the things you were just talking about either. So I think from what I'm getting from our talk is mindset's key and managing your day. Would you say like those are the two biggest things?
Yeah, you have to have the right mindset and you have to have the right goal.
Because you can't do 40 loans a month and have this type of customer service without that type of mindset.
You also can't do 40 loans a month unless you set a goal to do 40 loans.
I like that too. There you go.
Right. Yeah. So Shelby one time he's like, dude, you're going to do 40. I'm like, you're crazy. Like, you want me to die. You want me to sleep at work.
Right.
You want me to... No. Just change the way you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get 2 loans a day. Do 2 loans a day. Meet with 2 clients a day.
Yep, breaking it down.
Sell for 2 hours a day. Work 6 hours a day. If you don't have a goal of how many loans you're going to close or how many families you're going to help, how about we
switch
that? I like
that. I like families.
We're going to close 40. We're going to help 40 families get into a house today. You're never going to get to 40 unless you hit 40.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal was 40 2 months ago. I closed 62. How'd I do that? Because we already hit 40.
Yeah.
Right? And I looked at my current database and I'm like, all right, I don't have anything to do today. I'm going to go back. I'm going to find value. If I don't have anything to do today, I'm going to go and meet with a new realtor. I'm going to go and hang out with my realtor. I think another big part that gets overlooked at is we don't hang out with anybody that we work with that are sending us business. Why?
You're with them all the time. I mean, they're basically your friends.
But does it be yes or no? I have agents that I'm like, man, why don't they send me more business? Because I don't even hang out with them. I don't even call them. We tend to be order takers at loan officers.
Mm-hmm.
One-way street. I got a realtor. They're sending me deals. Well, what do you do for them?
Mm-hmm.
dig deep. Find, if you want to get more agents, find out their pain points. Learn how to use a CRM and teach that realtor.
Yeah, there you go.
Right? They suck at managing database. If you want to help an agent that's maybe not doesn't have a social media presence, show them how to post on Facebook, mm-hmm. post on LinkedIn. Do something to create value. And if you do that, you're going to be busy during the day, but you're going to actually have things to do and you're going to break up your time and you're going to take off. I mean, your business is going to double. If you're doing 4 loans a month, listen to what I'm saying and you will get to 8.
Cool. Well, we got like 5 minutes left, right? So I want to get from you one simple thing, a couple simple things that you want to tell everyone out there. Other loan officers that might be struggling or ones that want to scale like you guys did. What's something simple you can tell them out there?
You don't have to be the most talented. You just have to be committed. Right? So if you feel like that, man, that sounds good, but Pete's a good salesman. Anybody could be a good explainer. You just got to stop taking this as like a quick job. If you have a client, how do you wow them? How do you look at what you're currently doing right now and take it to another level? Mm-hmm. You want to sell a loan? Stop selling 30-year fixes. Sell a 29-year fix at a 2.22 or a 3.89.
Yeah, exactly.
Be different. Mm-hmm. Right? UWM allows you to customize your rate. Next time you do a loan, ask the client, hey, for $1 a day, would you like to take a year off? 29-year fix is about $30 more.
Yeah.
That's different. 3.875, sell 3.8741. Do something to be different. You don't have to be the most talented. You just got to be creative. Mm-hmm. You know, if I can tell all these loan officers that are listening is stop being vanilla, right? Stop being so plain. Stand out. Whether it's on social media, if you're not comfortable being on social media, then be the best explainer of loans that there is. You know, be different.
Goes back to your strengths, right?
Do what you're good at.
Do what you're good at. That's awesome, man. Yo, thank
Appreciate
you.
It, man.
Peter Galvez, United Wholesale Lending.
Awesome, man. Appreciate you thanks. Guys having me.
Yeah, man. This was a Broker to Broker podcast brought to you by AIM, Association of Independent Mortgage Experts. Later. Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Broker to Broker podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our channel so you don't miss a single episode. Head over to aimgroup.com/broker to broker and subscribe on any platform where you listen to podcasts.